for his servant on Pentecost Sunday. It was a prayer that the Holy Spirit flooded into our hearts with his dreams of mercy, enabling us to sing God's praises and remain faithful to him. Come thou fount of every blessing has been a favorite of the church since that day. Robinson continued working for the Lord until 1790, when he was invited to Birmingham, England, to preach for Dr. Joseph Priestley. And there, on the morning of June 8th, he was found dead at age 54, having passed away quietly during the night. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take it. Seal it. Seal it for the courts of love. I invite you to stand as we sing, Come Thou Fount.
Charlie'd be more than glad to do that for you. I want to give you an item that came to our attention just this past week or a little bit more that is not in your bulletin, and it is a financial need of someone who is in need of $900. There has already been some money that's been given towards this. But if you'd like to help in this endeavor, please make it known on your check by putting in the memo of what you would like to give towards this need. And just put in that memo, just need. And we'll be more than happy to make sure that this gets to the person who needs it. And so that's something that's not in your bulletin, but just want to make you aware of that. If you'd like to help, that's between you and the Lord. And we are glad that we can do this for this person as well. We have a lot of prayer requests today, and I'm not going to tell the things that go along with each one of these, but I do want to mention their names. I might say a little bit about some of them that I'm aware of. You know, I pray for our nation and our president that will be coming up the inaugural. It's going to be taking place this Wednesday, I believe, down in Washington, D.C. Pray for all that goes on for that ahead of time and during and probably following. I'm not sure. But who knows what to expect, what's going to happen there. But we need to pray for our country as well as for the president as well. We have Denny Kelly, Walt Meyer, who is down in Yuma. You see their address in the back of the little flyer that you've got in your bulletin, that if you want to send them a little card or a little letter, they would sure appreciate that. I'm sure Walt has gotten on to taking some shots, I believe. And some of the side effects of this shot is that he sleeps more, is what Cheryl says. And so, but he's doing well. But that's just some of the side effects of what he's getting down there in Yuma, Arizona. We have Dorothy Cherry here at the Akira Nursing Center, Healthcare Center here in Milford. A gay man, Shirley Berry, who is recovering at home. And pray for Pat Garrell's brother, Gordon, as he got a pacemaker?
Yes.
And
he got a new one.
He got a brand new one. You have to replace those every now and then, huh? Mm-hmm. And he's doing quite well, but he's just at home, and he's kind of...
He's in the nursing home.
Nursing home. Okay.
Yeah.
And Peggy Williams, as well as Dan Williams, are friends of Scott and Bobby Berry. They each have COVID, I believe, and Dan is in ICU. Is that any change with that? Still the same, okay. Skip Hughes is in the hospital still. Just pray that he gets a little stronger. They're not sure if it's pneumonia or not, but there just seems to be some kind of a pooling or something in one of his lungs. We talked to Colette about that this yesterday. Dave Conway is in Sioux Falls, and he's been receiving some help in getting rid of fluids in his legs and his waist. And if things go well, he could probably be back home tomorrow. So he's doing quite well. But just keep him in your prayers as well. And then there is the Dr. Liz Christine, or maybe it's Krissa. I'm not really sure. Rick Hayes, heart transplant list. So those are a number that are on our list here today. And just to remind you that you don't need another blizzard. We all got a taste of what that was like this last week. You know, so I was up in the cities. It was raining and snowing there. No wind. But it was not really fun up there in the cities either. So we will just continue on, but the Lord looks out for us, takes care of us through these times. And we're thankful for Linda Johnson's sister, Lana, who is home and doing well. And we have her address in the bulletin as well. That's all the announcements that I am going to make today. There are probably other needs that are here today. And we just want you to know that even though you want to keep them private, keep them to yourself, God knows. And he knows what's going on in your life and in your heart. And he cares about you. He loves you. And he just wants to be a part of all that's taking place in your life as well, whatever that may be. So we just trust him today and every day as well. So we'll continue on singing unto the Lord. Let the praise band continue on with Glorious Day.
Glorious Day, which has been our song for the month of January. We'll have a couple more weeks with that. As we go through the songs today again, be conscious of the lyrics as you see them on the screen about how important, how delivered we are in a glorious day of knowing that Jesus. I'm
song. Responsive reading today comes from Psalm 139, 1 through 10. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me.
You know when I sit and when I rise. You can see my thoughts from afar.
You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways.
Before I heard from my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely.
You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
If I go up to the heavens, you are there.
If I make my bed in the depths,
you are there.
If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea,
even there your hand will guide me,
your right hand will hold me fast.
Streams of grace, flowing
Thank you, praise band. You may be seated. As it's time for God's word for us to hear today. Did you come to hear God's word? It's important, isn't it? You always like to hear God's word. Not sometimes. Sometimes it's not that we like to hear it, but we need to hear it. We like it or not. I invite you to stand as we hear the text today. Comes from, in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says this: "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, 'Samuel.' And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went, and he lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Heavenly Father, may we be listeners. May we want to hear your voice. May we in our hearts today also say to you, "Lord, speak to me, for I am your servant." And so, Lord, use these words as you have so many times throughout the centuries. Bring them alive for us today to speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord has a way of stirring people's hearts. You know, oftentimes when you have company over and, you know, you're probably excited for them to get up and get going with the day, you kind of go like, send the kids, you say, "Is there any stirring going on in that room or downstairs, wherever it is?" And I made a big mistake once to my grandson. When we would come down here to visit him, I told him that, you know, when you get up, all you have to do is come into the room where we're sleeping and just hold my nose shut, and I'll wake up. And didn't you know he did? And he's never forgotten that, and so now I have to lock the door if he's around, because he still does it. I mean, that'll put a stir. That'll make you stir really, really fast. Whenever the Lord has that stirring going on in our lives, it's always for our good. Because God wants us to come closer to Him. Because oftentimes He stirs us because there's something happening in our hearts and in our lives that He does want to draw closer to us. But we need to come His way as well. We've talked about John the Baptist and how his message went out to stir the people at the Jordan River as they would come out and confess their sin, and he wanted them to get right with God. And before he baptized them, they would have to confess their sin to him, and then he would baptize them. And so there was a stirring going on, not probably only with the words that John the Baptist spoke, but God was already working in the hearts and lives of the people who went out there to hear what he had to say. And what John was really saying was to get closer to God is that we need to hear what his word has to say and to confess our sin and repent. Not a very popular message back then, and it's not a very popular message even for us to hear today. But that's really the basics when it comes to coming to know Christ as your Savior. Repent. It is a willingness to turn back to God. Just like that one song that we sang this morning. What was the name of that one, Bob? Prone to Wander is one of the words in that. It's come thou font of every blessing. We're prone to wander away from God. We're not prone to wander to him or towards him. We go the other way. And so repentance always brings us back to who God is. It brings us back to the cross that we see behind me here this morning. And we know that Jesus, later on in his ministry, shows us that he is the way to God. Because Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. In our text today, Samuel is about 12 years old. And it's a very interesting story with Samuel. His mom was barren, and she'd go to the temple, and she would ask Eli, the priest, that he'd pray for her, for she wanted a son so bad. She wanted a child. And Samuel, God heard her prayer, and Samuel becomes that first child of hers. And then she kind of said, Lord, you know, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you. He will grow up in the temple, and he'll serve you for the rest of his days. And at this particular time in history, and I don't understand how this can be, but she was able to take her son after she weaned him. Now, I'm just thinking, like, it takes probably 2 or 3 years old when you're done weaning. But then she took Samuel to the priest, Eli, and she gave him her son. And said, now you take care of him, you teach him the ways of the Lord. And once a year, her and Elkanah, as her husband, her and Elkanah once a year would then go to their annual offerings in Shiloh, and she would bring with her a new robe to give to her son Samuel. Now those of you that are moms, you would know that that would be something you would put a lot of thought into and a lot of your heart into, because you'd be thinking like, okay, he's a little bit bigger this year than last year, so I got to start making him a robe for this coming year, because we know we're going to go to our annual sacrifice, and she only got to probably see him once a year. And so he's 12 years old here in our text today. And Eli, the priest, has been the one that has been mentoring him and showing him of how the priests take care of the tabernacle. So this is before the temple itself has been built. This is the time when the nation of Israel is divided. You've got the northern kingdom and you've got the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom went to Shiloh to worship the Lord. The southern kingdom, they went to Jerusalem. And so Samuel gets raised by Eli, the priest. And he grew up in the presence of the Lord. He ministered before the Lord during those times. And so the sign of the times of his day, where it says in the very first verse, it says, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. you didn't hear the word of the Lord very often. And visions, there weren't that many visions either to even encourage the people saying that God was with them. It's a lot like between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's 400 years of God's silence. I mentioned that last week. And it isn't until Jesus is born. You know, you got John the Baptist is born and Mary at the beginning of the Gospels, that all of a sudden God is speaking again to his people, because you'll name him Emmanuel. The prophet Isaiah said, "He shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us, and that's the name they give to Jesus. Eli had two sons, and he was at the age where his eyesight was not very well. And he wasn't too good of a dad. He would not discipline his sons. His sons were also priests. And he was the one that was to watch over them and train them and make sure they did the things the way that God wanted them to be done. And his two boys had different ideas. And the people, of course, would know that pastor's kids are not very good. And so, Eli, for some reason, just would not discipline his sons. They did not do what priests were to do. They looked out only for themselves. They would find weak-willed women, and they would have affairs with them. They would take the best of the offerings that people brought as far as animal sacrifices, and would take what they wanted to eat. Probably would take the filet mignons for themselves. And they just did not follow the ways of the Lord. And so you have Samuel, who comes onto the scene. This is where we find where God does the stirring. God sees what's going on in the lives of Israel, of his people. And it is the Lord who goes and he calls Samuel while he is sleeping. And he's sleeping in the part of the tabernacle that is close to the lamp of God, which is the menorah. It's got seven candles on it. And it says here that they had not yet gone out. So it had been later at night. But there's someone, other priests that were supposed to take care of putting the oil in the lamp that is inside the tabernacle. And so it is later at night where God comes to Samuel and speaks his name. We also notice that Samuel, where he laid down, it was close to the Ark of God. Now, the Ark of God represented what? God's presence. It's interesting that Samuel is sleeping near the Ark, which is God's presence, and God comes to him and says his name. And, of course, Samuel does not know God's voice, doesn't know what God's voice sounds like. And so when he hears his name, he immediately jumps up and he runs to Eli's room and says, "What do you want? I heard you call my name." And Eli goes, "I didn't call your name. Go back to bed." Now, are there times that you've thought you've heard of something at night? And you got up and investigated? I haven't heard my name called at night, but I've heard little beeps. I look around, don't find anything. Thought maybe it's a smoke detector. Could be doing it or something, I don't know. But Samuel heard his name. The Lord is calling him. And three times, the Lord calls Samuel's name, and each time he goes to Eli, the priest, and Eli sends him back. Well, Eli has an epiphany. The epiphany is saying, "Aha! I think I know what's going on here. And Eli says, well, I think God is talking to Samuel. And so Samuel goes in one more time. It says that the Lord stood. You know, it kind of makes you wonder, like, does the Lord kind of go like, okay, one more time. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel goes, well, he didn't go the fourth time. He stayed there because Eli told him. Now, if you hear your name again, say, Lord, I am your servant, here am I. And see what happens. And so when Samuel heard his name being called out one more time, the fourth time, he says, speak, for your servant is listening. When God begins to stir in your life and in my life, all he's asking is us to listen. Listen. The world in which we live in today, we've got a lot of static, a lot of other voices coming at us all the time. And so when God begins, it says, just listen. And as Americans, we find that very difficult to do. But with Samuel, we find some traits with Samuel in our text today that are very important for us. First is to be a listener, then to be obedient, and to be a servant. Wow. It is interesting that God came to Samuel at night. You never know when God is going to start stirring in your life. You know, he could have started stirring in your life when you were really young. You got one here with, you know, Samuel's only 12. That's pretty young. But it could even be before you were 12. Through a grandma or a grandpa or some relative that you had. Maybe you had a Sunday school teacher that you just really enjoyed, and you remember some of the things that your Sunday school teacher said to you that has stuck with you over these years. And God has used that and stirring that in your life. Or maybe a friend that you've had over the years, or someone you met in college, or maybe it's a Bible camp. God started stirring in your heart and your life. And maybe it's just this morning. Maybe it's right now. You're saying, well, God's starting to stir something in me now, and I don't know what it is, and sometimes we don't even like it. But it's a good thing. Like it or not, it's a good thing when God stirs, because he wants you to come closer to him, because he wants to come closer to you. We find that the apostle Paul, before he was Paul, his name was Saul, that God came to him in the middle of the day on his way on the Damascus Road, and kind of blinded him with a bright light. And he heard and saw Jesus call his name. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And that was in the middle of the day. Jesus called the 12 disciples different times, and he said to them, just kind of like, come follow me. The interesting thing about Jesus calling disciples is typically the rabbi, I mean, people would want to be called by a rabbi to be their student. Well, here Jesus is the rabbi, and he's handpicking his students, his disciples. And what an interesting group of guys, as you learn about them. We find that Jesus says in John 10:27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. Because Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And my sheep will listen to my voice. I know them and they know me. Let me ask you this, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know his voice? Do you know what he asks of you? Do you know what he wants to do in your life and with your life if you would yield to him? So God is looking for the same traits in people today, in your life and in my life, these traits that we find in Samuel. Be a good listener, be obedient, and be a servant. Does that sound like you today? Is that who you are? Or is this how you would like to be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful, Lord, that you take us where we are. Even if we're prone to wander away, you don't give up on us. We're thankful that you love us like you do. So many of us here, Lord, we've heard love. We've maybe even heard I love you from someone. But it was always conditional. The person would love us only if we did something for them or listened to what they said. Then they would love us. But if we didn't, there was always problems. Lord, with you, it's unconditional love. It's a love that you love us regardless of what we do, what we say, but it's constant. And that's a healthy kind of a love. You always have loved the sinner. You hated the sin, but you love the sinner. And you demonstrated that love by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross to die for each and every one of us. That's how we know that you love us. And so, Lord, you may be calling out a name today. It might not be Samuel. It might be some other name that you are here today. It could be your name. And he just wants you to come to him, to trust and to believe in him. And Lord, it's our prayer today that there's someone here who you are calling, that you're speaking to his or her heart, that he or she would be able to say, here I am. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I'm ready, Lord, to follow you and to listen to your voice and get to know what your voice sounds like. Because you will forgive. And you will give a new start, a new way of life. To whosoever will yield his or her heart to you. And so, Lord, thank you for using your word in just this text of Samuel today. Even though he's a young boy, you're a God who still knows each of us, whether we are sitting or lying down or walking or driving. You can wake us up also in the middle of the night, and we don't even realize it, because you just want to spend time with us to reassure us that you're a God who cares and loves us. So let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. It should be on the screen in a moment. Where it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction this morning before we close with our closing song. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.